All right, homies. Hour number two. Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I'm Elijah Campbell, filling in for Robbie Stanley. Our random question of the day, I think we can continue, because we've got some participation on the text line here, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Pizza places, best almost dynasties in sports.
Yeah, some good stuff on here. Pacers of the 90s, very good.
Yes, that's a very good one.
That's a good call. Well, Astros actually did win. 90s Braves.
Early 2000s Astros.
But, of course, the 90s Braves did get that, what, 96 title, I think?
95.
So, 95, there you go. You know, so, like, if you get one, per your rules, they don't count.
Yes, and that's
right. Yeah, Jameson with the Pacers. You say basketball, mid-2000s, no name on that one. Jets, the dynasty of getting the number one pick from Dave and Big Rock, very good. Calipari's Wildcats, but CJC in Goodlettsville, the difference there, of course, is that they did get the one. They did get the one with Anthony Davis. Drop the bag, get the big man, get the title. Yeah, that's
how I said
it.
Yeah, baby.
And also some really good beer, you know, drinking settings. The cooking beer, for sure. Got to give a shout out to that.
Okay, underrated.
For sure.
Cracks top 10. Yes.
And I want to give credit on that one, and now I'm blowing it.
It's Chris and Gallatin.
Chris and Gallatin. And then also this is no name on this one. The best beer is 98 degrees. I just finished mowing the grass, sweating profusely, ice cold beer, hands down. That's very good.
Yes.
That's very good.
I like to do that one and then parlay it with the shower beer, which is already a top five one. And also, if you've been out there for a couple hours, that's like manual labor. So it's like the post-manual labor, post-lawn mowing, post-sweating your arse off, and then getting in a shower. And then combining all that together is a peak experience.
Yeah, so I do have to contest. I know we're going to get into Derrick Henry here in a minute, but the shower beer, I'm not really into that.
Like, have you tried it, though? You've at least tried it.
Yeah, I think I've tried it.
Yes.
But it's like, to me, it's like I got soap and shampoo all near my mouth. And as I punch the mic as I say this, you know what I mean? Like, it seems a little bit, and then water's coming, and then so I'm trying to, like, drink a beer in that. Now is the water getting in the beer? You know what I mean?
Well, you're being sloppy if that's the case.
So,
you have to find
a corner.
You have to find a corner, at least.
So you're showering, and then you turn away from the water, take a sip.
Yeah.
And then you turn back in. Okay.
If I can make it work with this head of hair and having to wash this bad boy all the time, anybody can make it work.
I mean, I guess maybe I should give it another shot, but I don't know, man. It's like, you know, shower and then have the beer.
I think that's the most polarizing one.
For girls, it's not the shower beer. It's the you're doing your hair and makeup getting ready beer.
Yes. See, I don't have to, yeah.
Okay.
Me doing my hair is just washing it. So essentially, that's it's in the same ballpark right there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Continuing
it's a lot of hair, man. Yeah.
On the text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.
Yeah, good stuff on there.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Derrick Henry yesterday. Oh, yeah. We should play Derrick Henry, because as soon as he said this, I was like, okay. I hear where you're coming from.
So, yeah, let's hear from Derrick Henry.
Derrick, there was a report that the Titans would be open to working on a new contract with you. Would you be excited about that? How would you feel about the idea of working on a new contract with the Titans?
I mean, it's always good to get a promotion at your job. When you think so, you get a promotion. That's always good. But, yeah, man, I'm just trying to work through that. I mean, I'm currently still on a contract. And if that's what the future holds, then, yeah, I mean, that'd be great.
Would be sweet. I like getting promotions. I like getting paid more.
Yeah.
I agree. I'd shake his hand on that.
Yeah, and that was a very – and Jared, good question about Jared. I think we may be talking about Jared later on the show. So let me just say, for the record, good question, Jared.
Big J journalism. There it is.
And Jared has been adamant that, you know, the report, you know, initially is a Derrick Henry camp-generated – idea.
Jimmy
I would
special.
Say that, yeah, I would say that response kind of goes along with that. And to me, it's like, okay, clearly, not clearly, I know how, my gosh, the
That's
microphone.
That's two in one
What
segment.
Am I doing here? I'm way too performative with my hands today.
Holy Derek Mason, Batman.
It's not clear to me how this might go or if this could get contentious, but it is clear to me that he wants a new deal. Mm-hmm. And again, it's probably obvious that he should, I guess. Now but you know, it's obvious that it's totally reasonable for him to think that way. That's going to be really interesting. And what would it look like? I mean, if I'm the Titans, I'm not signing up for a lot more, as great as he's been. Like, if Derrick Henry gets anything else, if he gets anything redone, he gets some guaranteed money put in there, gets a bump, whatever it is, that to me is like an appreciation for who you are and what you've done for us move, which you don't see a ton in pro sports. Mm-mm. But maybe because it's Derrick Henry, some sort of good faith bonus. I mean, it really is like someone yesterday in the text I said, what about you? Like, give him like a bonus. You know, it's like, hey, employee of the month. You were employee of the month 3 times last year out of 12 months. Here.
Here's employee of the month bonus.
Here's some extra coupons. You know, like.
Here's a $25 gift card.
Yeah.
To local Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. I mean, like, I can't imagine it's going to be anything significant. But I guess I could see something, and I'd love to know what exactly he has in mind. It's a really interesting situation, and I guess I have my doubts that it's going to turn into anything where he would, if nothing at all happens, where it would be anything but Derrick Henry showing up for camp and showing up for work and making his money next year. I don't think it would be anything different from that, but I think this is a little bit of a friendly public nudge of, hey, maybe a little bit more, a little bit of something, something, you know, and which I think is totally valid on his part.
Yeah, well, given the track record of obviously the offensive production as well as the I am this important to your team. Like, you can call me a running back because I am a running back, and there's this massive devaluation of the position in the NFL. However, there is not a running back that is more important to the entire offense and even the success of the passing game in the offense quite like Derrick Henry. And I think it's kind of like I've done a lot for you. I took a team-friendly deal in the prime of my career because, given his production, he probably could have gotten more with that contract that he signed, the one that he's on right now.
A little bit.
Considering how much he's used.
Well, I'm not – he may have deserved it, but the market of this – I mean, the market is what the market is. It's unfair to him, but it is.
Yeah, exactly. But I still think he could even gotten more then, you know?
I think the deal was – I think for the most part, the deal that he signed with them was pretty good. It was probably – it shaded team-friendly, I would agree.
Because it wasn't Christian McCaffrey. I don't even think it's Alvin Kamara, you know? And he's definitely been a better running back than those two guys.
Well, but
and that's minus the whole pass-catching thing.
Well, but you're also – well, he's definitely – even with last year missing half the year, he's been better in terms of durability.
Yeah.
But the big argument for those guys – and you know, the big a big point of discussion in all this is, well, if you're part of the passing game, then you can sell yourself as something more than a running back. Like Le'Veon Bell tried to do that. I'm not a running back. I'm an offensive weapon, right? Which, again, worth a shot, man.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry is not that. Yeah, Derrick Henry also has carried, you know, largely an offense that's been good for a team that's been really good. I think he maybe could have gotten a little bit more. Overall, it was a pretty fair deal given the market. The market's insane to me. You've got actually, like, you've got deflation over time with wild inflation everywhere else.
In the year of our Lord 2022, the NFL running back position is experiencing deflation.
Yeah,
very true.
I mean, like, basically his deal,
like an Austin, like Austin Eckler or Christian McCaffrey, who's getting targeted like 10 plus times. Like, that's what it requires, you know.
Right. So he's making, you know, he's making 15 this year. And next year he's going to make 15.5, and that's so. What would, you know, what does something new look like? I mean, to me, if you're the Titans, if you're going to do anything, it's just like you're not to me extending anything. I would not do that. Now, granted, you can always structure contracts and again give them some money up front and. You can get out of it easily and all that stuff, but I mean, I just don't know. I don't know if they're even gonna budge or do anything. But if they do, then it's purely like a thanks for your service kind of move.
Yeah, pretty much. And because, like, honestly, I think we might have seen like his best, like in terms of like his career peak. We've probably seen it. And I'm not saying he's not going to be productive this year.
And then you say that, but I watched him yesterday. I'm like, my God, it's, you know, yeah, you're probably right. But again, I'm watching him yesterday. I'm like, who's tackling that dude this year? You know, I mean, it is he's a mountain of a man.
And a lot of that can be pretty reliant on an offensive line, too. If he doesn't get any push, he's going to have to be better physically. And I think that's a valid question as well. So if he's not productive because maybe the offensive line doesn't help him out like they have in past years, maybe it's going to be a little harder for the Titans to be able to justify it.
I know we've got
a lot more.
I know we got to go out to break. On the text line driven by WellScoutHunting.com, here, isn't DH22, Derrick Henry, making about $15 million? Yep, people talk like he's playing for tips. The Titans have compensated him well for what he does. He's more than set for life. Okay.
Yeah.
This is all about the market, man. Now, you can say someone's set for life and they're not playing. No, no one's saying that he's struggling to like fill his tank. But
yeah, he's not working another job in the offseason.
Let's go down. You know, let's go down the list real quick of
highest paid running backs.
League. No, let's go down the list of, you know, this year cap numbers. Ryan Tannehill, $38.6 million. Bud Dupree, $19.2 million. Who has done more? Who's more important to the Titans? Derrick Henry, $15 million. You know, now granted, it's his position, but you have to be able to understand anyone in his position trying to get every dollar he can get. It's a very, very short term career.
Very true. And someone who is starting their career, Chig Okonkwo, the guy who's drawn some Jonnu Smith comparisons, rookie tight end from Maryland, is going to join us next here in Robbie and Rex Road. ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game Nashville app. Titans minicamp now well underway. Practice yesterday and the mandatory stuff, as I like to call it, is in full swing. And what better way to talk about these kind of practices than bring in one of the participants of the practice here on Robbie and Rexford. I'm Elijah Campbell filling in for Robbie Stanley. And on the line with us, we have Chig Okonkwo, rookie tight end from Maryland. A guy who's drawn a lot of comparisons to another good Titans tight end. I'm sure he's heard it 1,000 times. But, Chig, we appreciate you joining us, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just go ahead and ask about practice yesterday. What was the vibe? What's the feel now that everybody's in town and it's starting to feel a little more like full team practice? You had the rookie minicamp, and now you're able to kind of gather and reach this rapport with a lot of other veteran players.
Yeah, it was just really cool, you know, having everybody back. It was just an awesome vibe getting to see, you know, all the greatest, you know, players on our team coming back. And just having them in the meeting rooms and, you know, being able to talk to them and finally able to see them. You know, it was my first time being able to see all of them, so that was just really cool. And then also just getting to compete with them and, you know, just learn how to play alongside them is also an awesome feeling.
Well, you scored on some of them too, Chig. I know you couldn't help but notice that yesterday. It seemed like a really good day for you. How did you feel just about that, and how about the chemistry that you're developing with Ryan Tannehill now? It seemed like there were some moments yesterday where maybe some of that work has been paying off.
Yeah, definitely. It was very encouraging for me, you know, to go out there and, you know, make plays. I feel like, you know, I have to go out there and definitely, you know, make some plays, definitely earn the trust of Ryan, definitely earn the trust of other, you know, all the other veteran players. And then again, it's like, you know, going against our defense every day, I got to be able to beat those guys if I want to have success, you know, beating other NFL teams on Sunday. So it's just very encouraging. And, you know, the chemistry is just going, it's going very well. You know, I just do whatever Ryan tells me, you know, everything he says. So I just listen to him. He's very smart. He's a lot smarter than me. So I just try to soak up everything, all the knowledge that he has, that he gives me to go out there and, you know, use those tools that he gives me and go out there and succeed.
Talking with Chig Okonkwo, Titans tight end, rookie from Maryland. And Chig, I'm sure you've heard this a ton, and I mentioned it in the open too, that you've drawn some comparisons to Jonnu Smith, some former Titans tight end who was a great red zone weapon himself. You were scoring some touchdowns in the practice yesterday, and you guys have, I feel like, a very similar skill set where you're not just, you know, confined to the tight end position. Like, you've taken a handoff to the house at Maryland, had a big 50-plus yarder against Illinois a few years ago. You're a very versatile weapon. And so I guess all I have as a question here is, like, have you heard – how many times have you heard that Jonnu Smith comparison, and what kind of role do you think your athleticism and versatility can play in this Titans offense this year?
Yeah, man, I've heard that comparison a ton. Obviously, you know, being two guys who are, you know, very similar in measurables, you're going to get that comparison a lot. But, yeah, Johnny's a great player, man. He's accomplished a lot in the league. Definitely want to, you know, accomplish a lot in the league myself, too. So what was the last part you said of the question?
Just about how your versatility and, like, the way you can do a lot of different things on offense will be able to just add to this Titans offense that I think is going to use you a lot this year.
Oh, for sure. It's very nice, you know, being able to open up in, you know, bigger sets, like more having more tight ends on the field and just being able to still, you know, get it accomplished in the run game and the pass game. So, like, that's what I can bring. So definitely just want to keep showcasing my ability and just keep learning how to win on routes against guys, learn how to win against man coverage and different things like that. Just learn how to find the open spots in the zones. Those are things I'm trying to work on right now to become a serviceable target down there.
Yeah, and as you mentioned those things, Chig, I mean, a guy who obviously comes to mind for me is Austin Hooper, a guy who's, you know, had success in this league, and pretty obvious watching him out there too. I mean, he's got a really good feel for route running, for finding those holes in the zone, things like that. How much have you, I guess, absorbed from him, and do you feel like having him in the room this year is going to be beneficial to you?
Oh, it's going to be extremely beneficial. Like, already, like, he's already, like, shown me so many different things about running routes. And how, like, a lot of times, you know, routes don't even have to be, you know, ran at extremely fast speeds. You just got to be able to manipulate defenders with your eyes, like your head and like your feet. So he's definitely in the league of his own when it comes to all that route craft stuff. Definitely trying to learn from him every single day.
Talking with Chig Okonkwo, tight end for the Titans. And Chig, I'm obviously playing at Maryland. I've talked with Teron Davenport about this, and you've talked to Teron several times as well. But that experience at Maryland, a lot of the coaching you got, seems like it's prepared you pretty adequately for the NFL. A lot of advanced stuff over there. It was a fantastic offense to watch last year. I've watched a few Maryland games, and that's kind of where I noticed you for the first time. But how did that experience kind of help prepare you for the pros? Because obviously the college game and the pro game are different, and that's what a lot of some players have in terms of trouble acclimating to a different speed and different type of football.
Yeah, I'd say Maryland definitely helped me a ton. Just obviously playing in the Big Ten, you know, you're going against guys you're going to be playing against on Sundays every single week. Some teams have, like, 10 guys on the team that you're going to be going against. So it's just, and then being in Maryland, we learned so much on our offensive side about, like, certain things that I didn't even realize was going to carry over, like, to the NFL. And, like, I'm seeing them here again, and I realize, like, we all run the same exact plays. Like, everybody runs the same plays in football. It's just different terminologies and different things that you have to look for. So that definitely gave me a little bit of a head start. But nonetheless, it's still hard stuff, but I feel like I'm doing my part in learning it, you know, just studying on my own and just trying to, you know, get it down on my own outside of the building is what's definitely helped me a lot.
Yeah, well, Mike Vrabel talked last week with us about sort of the you know, the installs can pile up, especially on rookies, so, you know, they kind of get a feel for when it's starting to get a little bit too much, and then maybe you stick with base stuff and things like that. Like, have you gotten to the point at any point, Chig, this spring where maybe you've been swimming a little bit in information? Like, how has that gone in terms of digesting and then when the installs come in?
For me, it's been relatively fine just because I know I can control, you know, my learning. So just, I guess there's the amount of time that I put in off the field. So when I go home, you know, studying the script, studying the plays, studying the different formations. So for me, I feel like it's been relatively fine, but there have been some days where it's like you're thinking a lot more. So right now I'm just trying to get to the point where I can cut the thinking out and just go out there and play. Because I'm still at the point where I got to process the information in my mind before I actually do it. I want to get back to the point where it's just like I hear it and it's just immediately I know what to do.
Chig, rookie season coming up. Is there an opponent, I guess, on the schedule or someone in the NFL right now that you really look forward to facing off against, whether it be somebody that you really admired before you got into the NFL or a competition that you're really looking forward to this season?
I would say I'm looking forward to play against my old teammate, Nick. That'll be a fun matchup.
In terms of the veterans, Chig, you know, like you said, you got the guys in the building now, you got the best players in this team around. Who were you most eager to meet? Have there been any, you know, I guess, meaningful conversations between you and any of the guys so far as the veterans have come in?
The ones that came in, like I mentioned, in minicamp, I really haven't spoken to them like that much. Obviously, it's only been 2 days. But all the other vets that have been here for OTA have definitely made a connection with them. Definitely going to start making a connection with all the vets that just came in. As I get to know them more and get to play with them, play alongside them more. Yeah.
I guess I have to ask the obligatory Derrick Henry question, because for everybody, it's like, you know, what did you think the first time you saw Derrick Henry? I know Malik Willis yesterday was like, yeah, he's a large human. What do you think it's going to be like, you know, just being on an offense with him and blocking for him?
Man, it's going to make you, like, you know, trying to make sure you get your block right every time, because it's like you have such a, you know, great player back there. It's like, you know, he's going to be able to make something pop. So it's like every time, like, you know, just beat your guy. Beat your guy, keep one guy off him. One less guy off him means ton of more yards than he's going to get. So that's what's going to be for me. It's just definitely just every single play when I know I'm blocking for him, it's like, I got to beat my guy, give him a chance.
Chig Okonkwo, Titans rookie tight end. Chig, we appreciate you joining us, man. Looking forward to watching you play and fit into this offense whenever the season starts.
Sir, thank you.
Thanks, Chig. Thanks, stay Chig. Cool out there.
Yeah, it's it is not comfortable out there. And, of course, it's only going to get worse. Like, we're talking about this in June, when usually it's when training camp is whenever it's absolutely brutal on the body.
Although training camp may have what are we talking about today? We're talking talking 97 today?
And that's
training camp is going to not probably have too many days like this.
That's
right?
Mild compared to what it's going to be later. Like, I think next Wednesday the high is 101.
Really?
I won't be leaving my house at 68 degrees.
So I'm looking here. This says next Tuesday and Wednesday both 103. Well, I guess these guys are, if this week seems hot, it's better than next week would have been.
That's right. And what better way to prepare you for training camp than to go ahead and just get the worst of it out of the way? At least that's how I think. But we'll respond to some of the stuff Chig said. Awesome stuff from Chig Okonkwo. We'll continue the discussion on Titans minicamp as you're listening to Robbie and Rexrod. Elijah Campbell filling in for Robbie Stanley here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game, The Game Nashville app.
Hey, Robbie Stanley here, and the NBA Finals are nearing the end. Don't miss out on your chance to score big on FanDuel Sportsbook. Throughout the NBA Finals, FanDuel is giving new customers $200 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. You can bet the money line, point spreads, player props, and so much more. Plus, you could combine your bets for an even bigger payday with a same-game parlay. Could be all over with in Game 6. I still like the Celtics in this series. I like Jason Tatum over on points as well. But you can take it any way you want to take it. Just sign up with promo code ROB. If you haven't tried FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot, because the only thing sweeter than watching the finals is cashing in on all the action. So join today with promo code ROB and turn a $5 bet into $200 in free bets, win or lose. You can make every game feel like Game 7 with FanDuel Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Special day today, 615 day, and 102.5 and 106.3 The Game, 102.9 The Buzz, and the Nashville Predators are hosting a 615 day celebration at Ford Ice Center Antioch today, starting at 10 a.m., as soon as we go off the air. What a coincidence, with the proceeds benefiting the Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee. This event will feature fun for the whole family, with games, giveaways, food, ice skating opportunities, and most importantly, a chance to dunk our 102.5 The Game personalities, including one Joe Rexrode and Michelle Knezovic. And I think we have the details on that fleshed out. Michelle, you're at 2:30?
I think I'm at 2:15.
2:15.
When the heck do I go in the dunk tank?
I think Joe's 1:30. I think Joe's 1:30 to 2, and then I'm 2 to 2:15, and then it like ends.
Whoa. How come I'm doing a half hour, you're only doing 15 minutes?
Because people probably really like me, so they won't want to dunk me as much.
Supply and demand, economics.
I think there may be a lot of demand to dunk you. Who knows?
AKA you 20 times.
Many. Well, I think I'm going to bring Caroline out. Not Caroline Fenton. My Caroline. Caroline Rexrode out to she probably won't want to dunk you, but she's going to want to dunk me.
No, we're going to dunk you.
Well, there's a lot of local businesses that I feel like might be interested in dunking you, actually. I think 15 minutes may be a little bit do you have the full schedule? Like who's what times in the dunk tank?
I can get it. I'll get it right now.
Okay. And Jared's going to be in there when?
Jared, I think he's before you.
Man. Yeah, see, Jared's going to be there when I'm at Titans, so I won't be able to enjoy dunking Jared. I'm sure someone will, though.
That's a bummer. Get might video. Even have the president of Wimbledon fly over from London to dunk Michelle for saying Wimbledon, allegedly.
Wimbledon. I don't think she did.
I don't think she did either.
I think at least
dunk Jared and Jared versus Joe today. You can dunk them there.
Well, the thing is, like, I'm going to go in the dunk tank, and then I guess I'm just going to stay there, like, all – you know, like all gross and do Jared versus Joe. That's another thing. Like, are they going to change out this water? Like, really, you want to be like the first person in the dunk tank.
That's an important question.
Like, am I, like, it's the dunk tank goes from when to when? I need more details on this. I'm starting to get free. I want like the monkey pox or whatever, man. Like, you know, you got sunblock all floating around in there.
I'm so excited.
Oh, good Lord. I think I need to opt out. I'm out, Chase. Sorry.
You walk up to it and it starts smelling a little bit. You're like, I don't think I want to do this. I might be sick.
I've got Jared takes floating around the water and I've got to like fall into that.
Ooh, a take shake.
A take
shake. Oh, my God. Oh, that's terrible. Freeze it up, blend it a little bit. You have yourself a take shake.
Oh, my gosh.
So dunk takes, tank shakes, and also you can bid on silent auction items, which include Preds autograph merch and more, and donations are being accepted for the Boys and Girls Club of Middle Tennessee.
Yes, a very good cause.
Yes, for the kids. Just visit thegamenashville.com/615day, which is today.
And by the way, Kyle, on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, brings up a good point that Preds fans may want to dunk Michelle because she likes to play Chelsea Dagger on our airwaves.
That was one time. It was an accident.
That's 15 yards. Not, that's a personal foul.
I'm not feeling like 15 minutes quite suffices here. I don't know.
Listen, maybe. I want all the Vandy fans to just get on Joe in the dunk tank.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
There might be some reasons.
How dare you not say that the Vols are the worst humans in the history of the planet and all should never play baseball again and will never win another game because they flipped off an opponent? How dare you?
I dare you not put them in social jail for that.
Come on out. Come on out, Vandy fans.
So that's what we have to look forward to today. Good stuff there. Good stuff from Chigga Conquo in the last segment as well. And as a guy who had lead, I was excited to have Vaughn because I think he actually is going to be used a lot in this offense. The specifics probably aren't going to be discussed right now because I think he's going to be not I don't want to say like the secret weapon, because like in the NFL, teams scout each other pretty well and teams know what you're going to bring to the table. But I think he is going to be a good X factor on this offense because you can play him in different positions. And his athleticism is a much-needed add to a team that, in terms of pass-catching depth, doesn't necessarily have what they've had in the last year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think he'll have an impact. He looked really good yesterday. He's talented. I think he's got a chance to be a good player. I'm not – I think that – Austin Hooper and Jeff Swaim are still going to dominate the tight end snaps this year. And I know some people be like, oh, Swaim. But, you know, Swaim gets the job done in line, the point of attack, and he's competent as a pass catcher. And, look, then this offense is going to be, I think, two tight end more. And I think a lot of that is both of those tight ends need to be major presences in terms of blocking. So I do think Chig will find – opportunities and will be weaved in there. I'm hesitant on saying, you know, watch out for like a huge impact as a rookie. You know, it's going to be interesting to see. Yeah, and I do. You brought up the Jonnu Smith comparison in the interview. You know, Jonnu Smith as a rookie and early, really his first couple years, he was, you know, it's not like he was a standout, or I mean, it took a little bit of time, and they found places, and he got better at a lot of things. And I think Chig's probably going to have to get a little bit bigger and stronger, you know, to be as versatile as you want to be at that position. But certainly he has pass catching, you know, good hands, good speed, and all that, no doubt. I mean, they're going to find ways to utilize what he does.
I think the important thing is the red zone, because when you look at like the last year's Titans offense and the year before that, the reason that one Titans offense that they were like top five in the league and probably your best Ryan Tannehill season happened when they were converting on like 70% of red zone trips and scoring touchdowns. And a lot of that comes from having Jonnu Smith. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like last year, I felt like they would get to the red zone. Yeah,
Firkser. Firkser had some – I mean, that's why last year it was like, well, everything's going to be fine with Firkser. Yeah. But he had done some good things in the red zone.
Yeah, and like that's like to me the role I really want to see him excel in if I'm a Titans fan, just because I think that can make the difference from being an average offense to at least a really good offense or a competent offense is at least converting those red zone trips. Here's the thing. We're going to talk about kickers regardless. Like that in this market, like kicker talk is abundant, especially if Bullitt goes out there and only makes like four of his first eight. Whatever it is, you know, like we rip Gostkowski, who might be one of the best kickers to ever live, when he's in this market because he struggled a little bit and then finally got it together because he's one of the best kickers to ever live. But you don't have to rely on your kicker that much if you're converting those red zone opportunities to, like, I don't know, touchdowns, where those touchdowns are double the amount of points that you earn from a field goal. So we don't have those discussions, and we're not banking on a kicker to generate a lot of points if you can just convert those opportunities. I think that was the biggest thing missing for me, outside of Derrick Henry missing half the year, was you're just not converting a lot of those red zone trips to touchdowns, and I think that might be the biggest reason that the Titans saw Okonkwo at the spot they did in the draft and said, if we can get anything like Jonnu Smith from him, at least in the red zone, that's where this pick is going to make us our money.
And if they can get to the point this year where you've got two tight end sets with Okonkwo and Hooper, and you can do everything that you may want to do out of a particular formation, and that's a really nice thing to have. And it's a way, that's the one area where I look at this offense and say, boy, that could be markedly better than last year's offense. They didn't address tight end like they should have, and it was pretty obvious, midway through the year at least. But Hooper is still, I think the hype for him, it's just much easier to embrace because we've seen him do some pretty good things in this league. Yeah. He looks
his
really
Atlanta
good.
His Atlanta years were really good.
He looks really good out there. He looks like, and Tannehill and Hooper together look like they've got some good stuff going. And I'll be very surprised right now if Austin Hooper doesn't have Atlanta-like production this year. Pretty big step up from a couple years in Cleveland.
Yeah, that offense wasn't necessarily known as a throw it all over the field, lighting up the scoreboard.
Well, yeah, but
kind of offense. I mean, it was offense. I think he fit in. I think it was more of a Baker Mayfield thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They had a lot of different pass catchers. They had a lot of talent on the outside. They had Njoku. They ran the ball a lot. Like we had him on last week, and he said, you know, it's a running offense. But of course, this is too. You know.
Which is why I think the fit, at least, it's not something he's not familiar with.
Yeah, but he's, you know, he talked about how much better he has gotten as a blocker, which I'm sure was a big part of the Titans prioritizing him, you know, because you've got to be able to do that. But I think Tannehill, he's going to be a favorite target of Tannehill this year. Not the necessarily, but a favorite. Chig, we'll see, but he's going to make some plays this year. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Viking Matt on our text line driven by WilsonKennyHoney.com says he will go dunk Jared for you, Joe.
How about Dennis? Bottle the dunk tank water at the end of the day. 102.5 the game energy drink. Now that is gross. Alex asks, what time is Jared on? I'm spending all my money dunking him. That's what we want to hear. Let's go.
For the kids, give him some money. See, still, that's a charitable cause.
Still finding the schedule. We will definitely let you all know. And that's Joe's energy drink every morning.
Good God.
Ooh. Ooh. A take shake is what he drinks.
A little bit of suntan lotion, some hair gel, and some Jared takes.
Carnation delicious. Instant take shake. Yes, that is the breakfast of champions for Joe Rexrode. We'll continue the conversation on the other side. We also have some texts on our text line about some of the questions we've posed during the Choices Yours we can get to as well as you're listening to Robbie and Rexrode. Elijah Campbell filling in for Robbie Stanley here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game, and The Game Nashville app.
The The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
I mean, I don't have a problem walking in that locker room and saying, hey, every one of you, remember the Bengals. Remember that game. Remember what happened. But there was one thing. Tannehill was doing such a good job. Tannehill did such a bad job after the season was over, because he didn't take any account, he had no accountability for the loss in his post-game press conference. He didn't meet with the media after the season was over on locker cleanout day. Mm-hmm. He didn't do any podcasts. He didn't do anything. Now, again, to his credit, he did say he was in a dark place getting over the Bengals game, which it should have hurt. Like, that Bengals game should have hurt. Then he shows up for his first press conference and talks about how much the Bengals game hurt. And it's like, you know, if you had done this in January, I think it would have allowed people to move past it. But he was at least kind of taking the blame for the Bengals game. Then today, Derrick Henry was asked about how Tannehill said he was in a dark place. Derrick, being the Derrick that he is, and I'm not going to play the clip for you, but basically said, you know, oh yeah, he and I talked about it. And trust me, you know, we all feel this way, and you know, whatever, a good teammate. So then Joe asked Tannehill about his conversations with Derrick, and Tannehill said something that I literally popped my head up. I was like, I can't believe he just said this. Play the clip.
I guess specifically from your perspective on what Derrick told you, I mean, he basically was like, I also was struggling with it.
Yeah, I mean, we were kind of in a similar predicament. Obviously, you know, we put so much into it. You know, we care so much. We love the game. We love competing. We love our team, and love winning. So to end the way we did, like I said, and not be able to reach our potential, it hurt. And, you know, we're kind of in a similar spot, so we're able to connect in that way and communicate and really help each other a little bit.
We're in the similar spot. We're in the same predicament. Did Derrick throw three interceptions in that game?
See, I feel like his intentions behind what he said, I hope they were different than how it sounded.
Did he just give up? Did he just do everything that he did when he had his press conference a couple weeks ago that blew up over the Malik Willis thing that really wasn't that big of a deal, but everybody made a big deal? But what I felt like was taking pure blame for the Bengals game and for saying, like, hey, this Bengals game really, really shook me. And by the way, it should have. You know, like, that it should hurt. That he is now like, yeah, you know, we just let that one get away from us. No, no, no. No, girlfriend. You.
Wow. All right. So what I'm going to do.
That's a lot of Jared.
I'm going to take this T-ball. I want to put it. If you're watching our stream presented by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry, I'm putting this T-ball on the tee. I am giving you the bat and saying, tee off, because I know just by looking at your face during that there are some thoughts here.
No, it's not even. I mean, seriously, I'm not going to yell about it. I just, how do you take that little phrase and go there with it? I don't understand. I'm going to calmly ask the question, because it's a throwaway line, and there was more to this with Jared. Asked a fine question of Ryan, you know, about the pressure. And Tannehill gave the basic exact answer you'd expect, you know, which is like, my job to lead the team. Like, I don't understand what you would have expected him to say. Like, there's nothing that Ryan Tannehill is going to say about what he needs to do about, you know, the season ahead. It really matters, honestly. Like, we're going to find out. We're going to see him play quarterback. But this, taking this one little thing where he says we're in a similar predicament and somehow turning that into, like, you're trying to say Derrick also screwed up. No, he's just saying they're both sad about the game.
They're in the same boat about being sad about the game.
Now, I've admitted the Malik Willis comment, hey, I should have reacted more to it because it became a big thing everywhere. So sometimes you have to look at it and say, maybe it's just me not paying close enough attention. But this one is, you talk about parsing comments. I mean, you are taking three words and just spinning them into something that I don't think was remotely intended at all.
Mm-mm.
I don't understand, Jared. Help me, Jared.
I don't necessarily. Yeah, I don't get it either. Just be like the question you asked too was like Derek said. You know, he's talked to him about it. And they've had these discussions, and he's just regurgitating what they talked about. Like they're in the same boat about being disappointed by that loss. Ryan Tannehill, I promise you, is not the only one upset about losing to the Bengals in the divisional round of the playoffs. Like they are all feeling similar stuff in terms of losing that game. I don't think they all went in there, and I don't think Derrick Henry took his helmet off, sat by his locker, and goes, I'm going to sleep easy tonight. I didn't throw three picks. Like,
no, of course. Right. Like, but again, so Jared's taking this to like saying similar predicament is we both did the same things. That's not what he was saying. Maddie has actually verbalized this better than I have on the text line. Stillman's looking too deep. Similar predicament equals didn't meet personal and fan expectations. We're completely crushed. You know, and then, you know, on and on. Both had the ball in their hands. But, yeah. But, again, he's not talking about performance there. He's talking about how they felt
after losing and, that game.
And the question was asked just because Derek actually brought it up. He said, yeah, someone asked Derek about what Tannehill had said about being in a dark place. And Derek said, yeah, we were actually at a signing event of some kind in Alabama. I don't know exactly what that was, but and they talked about it. And so I thought that was interesting. I was just trying to get really Tannehill to talk about that particular interaction. He didn't really go there, but the predicament is just that they both felt terrible. That's it.
Yeah.
We don't need every single word that is said, and I think particularly by Tannehill, does not need to be like analyzed to this extent. I don't even know how you let your mind go there. I don't get it.
It's like there's some quarterbacks in the league where they do say stuff and they want you to read between the lines, and there's a message with almost every sentence being said. Cough, cough, Tom Brady. But Ryan Tannehill's not that guy.
It's a throwaway line. They both felt crappy. They both were terrible. Both were terrible. No. Nope. There's some words you could parse. No. They both felt terrible. They were sad. It's meanwhile, Nate, though. I mean, Nate, look, man, you may be onto something. Has the Rex rant become ranting about Jared? It seems like two or three each week. Is that true? It's not two or three each week.
Ooh, we need to start keeping
it. I don't think so.
Did we have one last week?
I can't even remember yesterday's show. Actually, no. You had two Twitter ones this week.
Well, right. I mean, I was going to go a third straight day on Vols baseball and Vanderbilt fans, but I decided to wait. I'll come back to that tomorrow.
Have the replies at least slowed down?
We are past 200. I mean, I think so. Let me go look.
Yeah, while you're pulling that up, Michelle has some news with the dunk take times. These are estimated times because maybe there's going to be some higher demand to submerge other voices in water. But Michelle, what do we have here?
Okay, so starting off, Chase McCabe, 11 a.m.
The suit.
Nice.
Right, the suit's first. Then Haley St. John of The Buzz, she's at noon. Stillman is at 12:30. Rex Road, you're at 1:30. And then
a full hour
two.
Of Stillman?
Yeah, but probably. Oh, you only get a half hour, actually.
I'm 1:32. Oh, I'll take it. Wow. So I'm right after Jared.
Yes.
Can I get the water switched out?
Don't be a diva,
you're getting dunked in the take shake, baby.
I mean, sometimes Jared just goes right from like working out, I think, to work. Like, you know what
Rex
I mean?
Rex wrote, I'm after everyone. I'm last. benefit me. So.
Michelle.
Yeah, don't you want the water changed out a little bit? If I were you, I would. I mean, by the time you get to it, that's some milky dunk tank water.
Using the word milky to describe it is so gross. That'll boost the immune system.
On a 101 degree day, this is gonna go really well.
The water's gonna be warm.
Meanwhile, the suit gets the pristine dunk tank water. Of course he does.
He gets the cleanest of waters. Well, when you're the suit, you get to make that happen. So, like I said, that'll boost the old immune system. Michelle might not ever be sick ever again.
That is true. Sometimes you need a little, there's a long-term benefit, I'm sure,
like
to all
swimming
this.
In the Hudson River, you know, whatever. David Beauclair, SI.com, coming up next. Let's talk some Titans minicamp, shall we? There's more. Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, The Game Nashville app.